Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
It's a Mediocrity Podcast. Today it's Monday in April. Happy April Fool's Day. April Fool's
Day. And not everybody stopped listening already.
It's not, so we're following the intro song up with a song.
We are.
Okay.
That intro song is just so
we're
good.
We're up and
though.
Running.
That intro song is just so good. I've actually gotten compliments on the song that people like to sing along with it.
That makes me incredibly happy.
So that's pretty funny. But no, April Fool's joke on you because it's not April Fool's Day anymore. That was a couple days ago. We are the Mediocrity Podcast, where the show is just okay. And I'm Brian Kluger with BoomstickComics.com. And you can find this Mediocrity Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Go there, subscribe. It's under the Multimedia Men name. And I'm always with Jeremy Maggart. How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic, man. How about you?
Doing well. We're going to get to you in a second. Let's intro our good friend on the other side of the world. He's knee deep in Singapore somewhere in a street corner. Jonathan Atterbury, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, man. It's good to be talking to you guys.
It is.
I missed you guys last week.
We did. It was so crazy last week. There was so much going on. I'm glad. You look like you're having a good time. You're out working out outside and everything, right?
Yeah, man. So we just moved recently out to the Thousand Oaks area in California, and I found a new gym that's got a really cool outdoor area with all the weights and everything outside, and the weather's killer, and I'm apparently like the only person that likes to work out in that area, so I pretty much got it to myself all the time.
Well, look at you. Look at you.
It's pretty sweet.
So the move went well. You got all your Star Wars things set up now?
No, man. Like, all my Star Wars stuff is in boxes. All of my, you know, because we move like every 3 months for my wife's job. So we basically have put all of the memorabilia, all of the stuff in boxes in storage.
All right.
Well, we just take the bare minimum with us to each place, basically.
Well, we have a good show for you today.
It's tank tops and his dogs, and that's it.
Yes, yes, tank tops and dogs. Yes, and spandex, all spandex.
And the baby oil.
Baby oil, yes, I like it. But we have a good show. We're going to talk about a ton of movies, some video games. But first, there was a big event in the North Texas region this past weekend called the Dallas Comic Book Show, or Fan Days Dallas. It's like Dallas' big Comic-Con.
You totally blew both of those.
Oh,
it is neither of those things. It's Fan X. Expo Dallas.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I can't keep up with these things.
You combine two different shows' names.
But they're all part of Dallas, and they all happen within a month.
They all happen in a similar city, yes.
But this okay, so... But they're all the same thing.
They're all in Texas. That you are correct on that part.
The Fan Expo Dallas is like... This is their big convention of the year, right?
Yes, this is the big Dallas convention of the year.
And you had a big booth there. You sold a lot of stuff. And speaking of Star Wars, Mark Hamill was there. Jeremy,
yes, he was.
Tell us what the good, the bad, and the ugly of Fan Expo.
I got to know. So I have, before we go into that, I've spoken to Jeremy a little bit about what he did. But Jeremy, did you see Mark Hamill? Did you lay eyes upon Luke Skywalker himself?
I did not even try. That show, the Sunday was as busy as what it normally is on a Saturday. Like, that show was so packed, we could not even... We didn't even try to get out of the booth. Like,
wow.
We were going to, like, try to go eat. We ate some breakfast that morning. There were so many people that it was just traffic jam-packed.
Which was the best part about that was that the one time Jeremy was out of the booth was when I came up there to see him.
Yeah, that's right.
I missed him. We missed each other.
He just ducked under the booth.
He did. It was sad. But I did see Mark Hamill, though. I was up there, and I did get a glimpse of him.
That's awesome. Impressive because, man, I got to say the saying of don't fuck with the Jedi Master is true because, man, Mark Hamill brings out the peoples.
So I heard that there were close to 80 or 90,000 people on Saturday alone there.
That would not surprise me. I mean, there was just – there were people everywhere. I mean, you just getting – making it to like – there were lines at the bathrooms. I mean, just packed full of people. I've never seen a Comic-Con with that many people at it.
Yeah. That sounds horrible.
Yeah, it was what made it good was also what made it a little bad because it was just like so many people. Nobody was really stopping at the tables and kind of looking at stuff on Saturday. So it ended up being a little weak in that regard. But for the most part, it's a pretty fun show.
So nice. What? Who'd you meet? What did you see? Did you sell some good pieces? What's going on?
Sold a few comic books, which was cool. Did a couple convention sketches, a few less than I normally do. The best part was my two biggest comic influences, Greg Capullo and Adam Kubert, were there, and I actually got to meet both of them, and that was pretty awesome.
Did they say anything to you? Did you ask for advice, ask them any questions?
I didn't really get enough time to ask them for advice, but with the panel I was at when you came to the booth, I signed up to do a meet and greet with Greg Capullo and then writer Scott Snyder. And what got me back into comic books and art was when DC relaunched their books with the New 52, Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo were doing Batman. And that's actually what got me back into comics. And then around that time, I was going to just kind of start looking to do some new stuff life-wise. And that inspired me to do comic books. So that kind of got me a little bit to where I am now. And so I met those guys, and I got to tell them that, and they were super flattered by that comment and had them sign some comics. And then similarly told Adam Kubert something very similar because his work also had that level of an effect on me. And so got to meet all those guys, and it was awesome.
That's great. Now, when I was there, the cosplay, the costumes, people in costumes were incredible. What were some of the strangest and best and worst ones you remember seeing?
Strangest and best, there wasn't really anything super weird at this one. On the last day, I saw a dude dressed as Frozone from The Incredibles, and it was perfect. I mean, it was perfect. It was so hilarious, and everybody loved it. That was pretty good. On the very first day, like right as the show was opening, there was a dude walking around as Buddy the Elf, and it was pretty awesome. And those are probably two of my favorites.
All right.
Either of you guys see our friend Carson Morris at the show? I know she went and did the Harley cosplay.
Yeah, I saw the picture. I didn't see her.
Okay, so you didn't bump into her. Gotcha.
Doing the cons like Jeremy and I have had over the years going to so many, I really expected to see a lot of people there, but there was literally so many people there that I didn't see one person. I saw two people. I was going to see Jeremy, but I didn't see him, but I did see Robert Wilson as a local artist, and he was awesome. So I saw his booth.
He's an awesome dude.
He is a good dude. So I saw him, but I expected to see some people I know because I knew a lot of people were there, but it literally was so crowded from even in the waiting areas or outside waiting to get in, as well as every part of the con floor, whether it be the vendors or artist alley or autographs. It's just – it was chaos basically. So it was – yeah, I wish I – but I did see Carson's cosplay online. So yeah, I can't imagine going there at that – convention, which I mean, it's at the Dallas Convention Center, and that is a very big place. And they were thinking about, like, people were thinking about shutting it down because of the capacity was too full.
Wow!
So it's getting well. You know, they have Mark Hamill rarely goes to these, so that's a big draw. And then Tim Curry was there, and that's a rare sighting. So a lot of people came out for those two for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So. I mean, plus you, and then on top of that, you had Jeffrey Dean Morgan was there.
Oh,
and I don't know if
Norman Reedus.
Norman Reedus was there. Norman Reedus, I think, usually comes to this show, but I mean, the celebrities were huge. The comic book people alone that they had—it's probably the best comic book lineup I've ever seen in a Texas show. So you had tons of that, and they had a lot of. I don't know much about the cosplay world, but there were about four or five cosplayers that, you know, I recognize. So, like, if you've got, like, those people, then, I mean, it was just gigantic.
Yeah, part of the convention floor was dedicated to, like, the fairly famous cosplay people. Mm-hmm. Like, they had their own huge booth, just like celebs did. It was really interesting.
Jessica Nigiri was, like, one of the people that was there, I know, right? She's a big cosplayer.
Yes.
She was there. Man, even the voiceover people were huge. I mean, you had
Billy West.
You had Billy West. You had Kevin Conroy was there. Troy Baker was there. Nolan North was there. I mean, they had, I think, most of the cast from Dragon Ball Z. So Jennifer Hale also was there. I mean, it was packed.
Yeah, it really was insane. And I've been covering these for a while, and that's the most crowded I've seen it. Like, it wasn't. People were upset of how crowded it was, but I mean, what can you do? People are coming all over to do stuff. So, the thing about comic book conventions that I don't like now, that I have a very big beef with, is that I don't like how expensive they are. People are charging, you know, if you showed up on the day, you could pay for a $50 ticket for a day. However, if you wanted other things, you'd have to pay to get in, and then you'd have to pay $200-$300 to get autographs and pictures from each person, because they each charge something separately, usually, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that, like, takes away from, like, the real artists and writers that you really want to go to, I think. You know? What do you think, Jeremy? What do you think about that?
To me, it's a mixture, because some shows, I feel like the people that are there, for example, for Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really most likely what they're there for, and they wouldn't be there if he wasn't there, or they go there for the Walking Dead signatures. The majority of the people that are there for the celebrity stuff, I think are pretty much just there for the celebrity stuff. They might walk around and look through Artist Alley and check some stuff out and see if there's anything cool. But, you know, I feel like a lot of the people that come for the comic book stuff are probably there for the comic book stuff. And then the people that are there for celebrities are probably just there for celebrities.
Well, I guess it's called Fan Expo now instead of Comic-Con, because usually Comic-Con was usually about comic books, you know? And now it's
Well, the reason they changed the name, though, was because they got purchased.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. And so the company that does them does huge shows through the U.S. and Canada, and I think they do Fan Expo Dallas. I think they do a couple Canada shows as well, and those are also called Fan Expo. I think they just changed it for branding.
Okay. Well, I wish it was more influenced on Artist Alley to get all original artwork out instead of, you know, just literally 30 seconds with somebody, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
That's what I hope. But anything else on Fan Expo? Dallas Comic Con Fan Days?
Did either of you guys get any cool goodies while you were at the show?
Josie got a cool little Wonder Woman statue, little vinyl figure in black and white from the Bombshell, DC Bombshells Wonder Woman. Let's see, I got a print from Greg Capullo and Scott Snyder, which was exclusive to their little panel signing that they were doing.
Cool.
I got a bunch of signatures on some comics from those dudes. I got a special print that was available at the show from Adam Kubert and got him to sign it. And I think that was pretty much it. We didn't really get to do a lot of stuff just because it was so packed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get anything. I saw a couple T-shirts that looked funny, but I didn't get them.
That's a good story.
There was. There was a couple. Somebody was making magnets of really funny stuff and like horror movies and stuff. So I thought I looked at those, but I basically walked around, checked things out, saw cosplayers, went to Artist Alley for quite a bit, and then walked up and down the autograph aisle just to get glimpses of what people are looking like. And I felt so bad for Tim Curry. Ugh.
I mean, looking pretty unhealthy.
Oh yeah, I've seen some friends post pictures with him, and it's just, I just feel so terrible. So
that is unfortunate. Speaking of Tim Curry, we've got the It movie, the It remake. We just got the trailer for that, right?
We're going to move on to trailers. Yes, the It trailer, which I believe is the most seen trailer within like a day or two. Like, it broke records for how many times it was viewed online.
Yeah, I think it broke like the most recent Fast or Furious movie, right?
Yes, and it was like 87 or it was more than that, probably millions of people viewed it. And I have to say that, so Stephen King's Ed, I remember, we probably all remember seeing when we were growing up, and it was a TV movie split into two parts, and it does not hold up, because I've seen it recently, because I still have the DVD, and it is really cheesy and bad. But Tim Curry's Pennywise clown is still horrifying.
Tim Curry's, Pennywise is fantastic, but it is literally the only good thing about the movie.
So this is a movie where a remake could be good. And by the trailer, it looks good.
The trailer is awesome. I was really happy with the trailer.
So, because this has had some troubled history. The original director dropped out, and then the actor who was originally supposed to play Pennywise dropped out, which was Will Poulter. He was in Son of Rambo and what was that young adult movie called? Can't remember. Oh, he was in We're the Millers. He's the kid in We're the Millers. But he was going to play Pennywise, but that dropped out. So, I mean, there's been troubled history with this production already. But as this trailer has shown us, it looks like it looks spot on and scary, horrifying. And I can't wait to see another trailer. It's one of the trailers, because we're going to talk about a lot of trailers today. This is one of the trailers in the last while that does not give a lot away.
Yeah, it was just the right amount of stuff. And well, plus, most people have seen it or they're familiar with the story of it. So I'm not too worried about them giving stuff away because we already know what happens.
So I'm trying to figure with Jeremy, did you ever see the original It movie?
No.
No? Okay.
So Jeremy, don't ruin it for me.
So good. Spoiler alert. Like 30 years late. But the original TV movie, the first part focused on the young kids, and the second part that was shown the next day focused on all the kids, but now grown-ups. So in this trailer, we only see the kids. So I wonder if there's going to be two movies. Or because there's a lot of material.
That is a gigantic book.
Yes. So I wonder if the first part will be like, you know, there will be a continuation. I don't think there's been an announcement on that yet, but I mean, it would be cool if they kept it kind of like, you know, like a Sandlot-esque type of movie with kids, and then like added that horrifying experience with the alien known as It.
Yeah, I think that could be cool, is if they just kept it as the children. That would be an interesting take on that. Or, you know, maybe they just didn't put the adults in there because those aren't familiar with the story would be confused seeing the kids and the adults in the trailer.
Right. And I'm so glad they got fairly unknowns for the roles. The only one I recognized was the main kid in Stranger Things. He's in the new movie.
Yep.
So, but that was cool. It looked good. Pennywise looked awesome. And it looks like they've got some of the similar scenes from the original. So I would imagine maybe Stephen King might like this version. I don't know.
But let's be honest. While Stephen King is one of the best writers of all time, probably, he has crap taste in movies. I'm going to go ahead and say that right now, because he has dashed a lot of movies that were fantastic horror movies, and he said they were terrible. And then there are other adaptations of his books that he praised that were just god awful.
Which is interesting to see when writers do that. It really is.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not too surprised, because I never expect, you know, it's like I wouldn't expect a great filmmaker to be able to write a great book, or even necessarily know a great book when he's reading one. So I think that there's definitely a different way. Your brain works in a different way when you're a writer versus when you're a filmmaker. So I get why it's not exactly lining up.
But it's an adaptation on your work, though. You know, you got to make it good for the film, I guess. I don't know, for the big screen.
Well, like The Shining is a good example of that, because we all know how much Stephen King hated Kubrick's adaptation of The Shining.
Yes.
And it's one of the best movies ever made, probably.
I agree. It worked well on screen.
It is also wildly different than the novel.
Yes, it very much is. We'll keep you updated on It. I'm very excited about it. I love horror. I love this. I love Pennywise. I love that stuff. So hopefully the best. What other trailers did you see recently? You don't know? Justice League trailer had a new trailer?
Yeah. Oh, Justice Spider-Man? League came, that's right.
All right, so let's talk about Amazing, or not Amazing, just Spider-Man Homecoming. They showed, like, the long trailer to that, and hey, it looks fun. It looks good. A lot of Robert Downey Jr.
I haven't watched any trailer for that one.
You haven't yet?
No, I'm kind of like trying to not – I almost don't want to see the trailers because I'm trying to save it as much of the film excitement as I can.
Okay, so we're going to talk about it right now. So
whatever.
So
I should have known.
So Spider-Man Homecoming takes place in the Marvel Universe, and we see a lot of Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man in it. And, of course, Michael Keaton is Vulture here. It looks good. Jeremy, did you see it?
Yeah, I watched it. It does look pretty good. Everything looks legit. I'm looking forward to seeing how much Robert Downey Jr. is in the movie because he's kind of in the trailer a lot.
Yes, he is.
And we've seen, like, the teaser trailers where he's, like, super heavy in the teaser trailer. And, I mean, he's in a good bit of this, so I'm curious to see how much of the movie he's actually in.
So what it looks like from a trailer is what they showed in the two-and-a-half-minute trailer is that, I guess, as we've seen before, Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, Tony Stark finds Spider-Man Peter Parker and gives him, you know, the means to create his suit and abilities, basically. And I guess Spider-Man does his thing, but Iron Man is not wanting him to, like, be as crazy as he is in the movie, I guess. Like, go, you know, the distance as Spider-Man, you know, is the big superhero. So it looks like there's going to be friction between Iron Man and Spider-Man in this film. Is that what you got from it?
Yeah, I mean, there's the thing where he wants him to be smart and he wants him to be careful.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm curious to see how they play all that.
And then there were some good scenes in it, you know, like we've seen in previous Spider-Man movies of big action scenes and people hanging off of, you know, ledges about to fall and his spider web comes in. I don't know.
I'm so jaded with that stuff at this point, though. It's unfortunate because now when I see those amazing scenes of Spider-Man flinging webs throughout New York City and swinging from building to building, there's zero emotional reaction I have to that. It's just like I can watch it completely stone-faced.
Yeah, I'm more looking forward to seeing like Michael Keaton as the Vulture.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that.
He's been Birdman, he's been Batman, he's been Beetlejuice, and now he's Vulture. Mm-hmm. That's so awesome. But yeah, I'm very curious about it. I mean, I went into Doctor Strange thinking like, oh God, not another one. And then I like loved Doctor Strange. So I'm really thinking that this new Spider-Man movie, I'm really secretly hopes for it that like, okay, the last movies existed, but this is the new thing. This is actually Marvel doing it. Fantastic. It's going to be good.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it. You know, originally when I was like, man, they're making a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Nobody wants to watch that.
That's
and it was awesome.
One. The best one, I think.
And then it was like you're making a movie about a dude that shrinks down and talks to bugs. I don't know. I don't like Paul Rudd and everything, but I love that movie too. So at this point, I'm like, hey, you guys just go do what you want and I'll give you my monies.
Right, yeah. Marvel's doing well. So with Spider-Man Homecoming, I'm glad to see Spider-Man in this cinematic universe, you know. So, all right. So we mentioned Justice League. Justice League has a full-length trailer now, and it has a song by the White Stripes, The Hardest Button to Button, and Come Together. And I don't think it's the version by the Beatles either, but it is one of the versions. Justice League. I really want to like it. Like, I like Ben Affleck. I like these actors. I really want to like this. And it looked like they were having fun in the trailer. I don't know. I've been let down so hard before in the past. What do you think?
Have you seen it, John?
I have not. I've got my DC boycott going strong at this point. After that fucking Batman versus Superman movie, I swore off DC movies. I will not watch a single one until I get reports from you guys saying, oh my God, it was so good. And then I will watch it.
You have to watch it. You're part of this entertainment community that gives information. You have to tell them your opinion.
I will not give those fuckers my money anymore until they start putting out quality movies. I don't even care if it's paying $3 to rent Suicide Squad. I'm not doing
it. You know what? That's a good idea because I just, it's, I don't think of that aspect because I don't pay for movies. So I can't imagine spending, you know, opening day for a movie like that, if it's IMAX 3D, like $20 or something like that, and being sorely upset. Yeah.
Like I said, even $3 for Suicide Squad seems like too much.
Oh, my goodness. So did you watch it, Jeremy?
Yeah, I watched it. I was curious.
So, I mean, the Flash is interesting. I love that actor so much, Ezra Miller.
He looks like a fucking red Power Ranger.
He does. And, like, when he runs, it really is like...
I don't want to watch a Power Ranger Justice League movie. It looks like he moonlights as the Red Ranger. I'm good.
What about a Cyborg?
That's the worst costume in the movie. I'm cool with the Cyborg stuff. You know, I mean, really, they spent the entire trailer showing you Aquaman because they're like, they want to be like, hey, look, Aquaman's cool. You know, he doesn't just talk to fish. He's awesome. So, I mean, plus my biggest problem with the trailer is they're doing the same thing they did with all the other trailers. They're like, hey, look, we made a music video with the trailer.
Yes.
And that's what I'm like, stop doing that and just show me the trailer, because they're doing that thing where it's like, hey, look over here at this little shiny thing to distract from the fact that maybe it's not that good. And that's exactly what they did with Suicide Squad. Everybody was like, man, that Bohemian Rhapsody trailer was awesome.
It was good.
No, it wasn't, because all they showed you was Harley's terrible dialogue through that whole trailer. Like, every bit of dialogue in that trailer was awful. And all of that dialogue, with the exception of a couple things, made it into the movie.
So that was because I think early test screenings were like, this movie's too serious, it needs to be funny, and they added like lines in or something like that to make it funnier. I'm really going into Justice League just, this is gonna be dog shit.
And I want to like it so bad, but as soon as they keep doing that music video thing, that immediately worries me, because I feel like you're distracting from the fact that it's not good. Like, you're throwing up smoke screen.
Yep. I don't know. I hope for the best. It's not going to be the best, but I hope for the best. And
I want it to be good.
In the poster and in the trailer, not a hint, not a mention, not a sight of Superman. So I feel like with Justice League, that's a big part. Like, maybe half of the Justice
League. He's probably going to pull a Luke Skywalker and show up at the end when he gets brought back to life.
Batman's going to
stand there in silence for 10 seconds.
Batman's going to go up there and give him his batarang, holding it out. And Superman's like, my mother's name's the same name. Oh, God. So, yeah. So, we'll see. But, yeah, in the trailers we've seen and in the posters, there's been no Superman yet. And I just don't get it. I don't get it. But Justice League, yes, there is. And that's coming out. It's weird. Let's move on to War of the Planet of the Apes. Have y'all seen that new trailer yet?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty good trailer. I'm excited for this. And it looks like Woody Harrelson is going to be a guy that you're just going to be excited to hate through the whole movie.
I'm excited about that movie. I've enjoyed all of these movies so far.
They've been too. So good. So, and like, not even on, like, visually, I think they should be winning Oscars because of the motion capture. But
I agree.
Also, like, the dialogue and the story and the cinematography have been, like, top notch.
Soundtrack, too. The score has been amazing.
Yes.
I agree.
So this new one, we've slowly seen the apes, you know, because like in the movie, in the older movies, the Charlton Heston movies, the apes rule the world, and we haven't really seen that yet. This is kind of, this looks to be like the third and final film before actually maybe the apes actually take over, because it is called War of the Planet of the Apes, and it looks like most mankind or humankind is off, but they're, and even Woody Harrelson has like some sympathetic views in this character, because it looks like he's the bad guy here, but he also says like, he's talking, I guess, to Caesar, the head ape, and he's like, what would you do if you're threatened like this? You know, I'm like, well, there's a point to that, too. But he also looks like a bad, bad guy. And it's like one of those, you know, those villains in movies where you're just like, oh, he's so bad and so awesome. But like, you just hate him so much.
Yes, absolutely. I think of, gosh, I can't remember the actor's name right now, but the guy that played the evil leader in Gladiator.
Oh, Joaquin Phoenix?
Joaquin Phoenix, yeah. He was like such an excellently hateable bad guy.
He was. He gave the thumbs up and then the thumbs down. Yeah, Woody Harrelson looks like that type of character, like just like, oh, he's going to be so vile and just oh, you hate him. But afterwards, you're like, God, he was so good in that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the best kind of villain. You have to like, there has to be part of you that was like truly excited by that character.
Yes, yes, yes. But yeah, the trailer looks good. It looks like all the apes are like fully talking on a regular basis and like all of them. And it looks like there's a small little blonde-haired girl that might be, you know, I don't know. She's a big part of the movie, it looks like. And then it looks like there's actually some apes helping the humans. So it's really interesting. Looking forward to it. It's a big movie. Big movie for summertime. Big movie watching for summertime. What other ones have we seen recently? Did y'all see the King Arthur trailer?
Yeah.
And what do you think about that?
Not looking forward to it.
I'm not either.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I think, gosh, I can't remember this guy's name either. The guy that's the lead in that movie. He was in Sons of Anarchy.
Pacific Rim.
Yes. Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah, that guy. He's a crappy actor. He's a terrible actor.
I agree. He was the worst part of Pacific Rim. Well, him and the girl.
Oh, it was so painful. It was so painful. And if you've, you know... I watched Sons of Anarchy from front to back because there were some elements of that show that I liked, but he was probably the worst part of that show. He's so dry and there's just no personality that comes through. And when it does, it's just so concocted, you know?
He's the Kristen Stewart of the male actors.
Oh, man, so bad. And I'm just not a huge fan of Guy Ritchie either.
Snatched, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels?
They're entertaining, and I watched them when they came out, and I went out of the theater going, that was cool, but I've never watched them since.
Dude, Snatch is probably one of the best movies of all time. And
I'm going to disagree strongly on that one.
You are wrong, sir. Your opinion is wrong. I know this for a fact. But, you know, he's went on to do other things which are mostly terrible. His most recent thing has been the two Sherlock Holmes movies with Robert Downey Jr., in Jude Law, and they're okay. They're not great. They're okay.
Exactly. And that's probably what this King Arthur movie will be. I'm expecting it to be okay.
We'll see. He just needs to make another Snatch movie because that movie's amazing. Even though Atterbury has never seen it because he doesn't know what he's talking about. also, for you horror buffs, they're doing another Annabelle film, Annabelle Creation. Annabelle is part of the Conjuring movie series, and it's actually a real-life true story. Actually, I'm doing a video.
It's inspired by a true story.
It is a true story.
We'll clarify on that. Well, because so all this shit with the Conjuring movies and spinoffs. Ed and Lorraine Warren, it's if you read the actual stories, it's really, really, really exaggerated what you're seeing in the movie.
No, we'll see. So I have to tell our listeners in a few weeks, I've started to do a new video show. It'll be a new show you can watch on YouTube. And a pal of mine, Gwen Reyes, and I have started a thing called Hollywood Horrors, Real Monsters in Real Life, where we talk about stuff just like that, where we take movies that are based off of true stories and go into the lore of them. And we have done an episode. We've filmed several episodes already, and we have gone over Ed and Lorraine Warren. Annabelle, actually, if you remember the first Conjuring movie, was the doll that was possessed. She didn't look like that doll. It was a Raggedy Ann doll. But
right.
Supposedly this was possessed by a spirit of somebody called Annabelle, named Annabelle, and demonic forces were at work there. Their stuff is debunked. Well, not debunked, but there's a lot of skeptics out there. But there is an Annabelle creation, and the trailer starts off just like Child's Play 2 with like the doll getting made, but then it goes back in time to show like what actually happened and how this doll became possessed.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I really liked the first Annabelle movie. I love both Conjuring movies, especially the second one. So yes. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm very excited about that. The Annabelle creation trailer looks really good. It looks scary. It's that James Wan's a producer. Those movies scare me. Just that stuff scares me. It just does. I don't know why. It just does. But that trailer looks really good, and I think it will do well.
Didn't we get a new trailer for The Mummy also?
Yes. Oh, I have such a beef with this fucking trailer. Good God.
What's your beef with this trailer?
So, Tom Cruise. I'll be the first to admit it. I am a big fan of Tom Cruise. But now he's the lead guy in a whole Universal monster movie remake. And what is he doing? Or what are they doing? They're not making monster movies. They're making... In Mission Impossible movies with monsters in them, make a monster movie. Don't try to save the world. Don't have this mummy, because the trailer shows this mummy kind of act like the main bad guy in Suicide Squad, this witch that comes out and tries to blow up the world. This looks the exact same movie without the Suicide Squad, but you have Tom Cruise. And it's like, make a also, because remember the old monster movies?
Well, that already sounds better than the Suicide Squad.
Have you seen the trailer yet?
I watched it last night.
Ugh. I wanted a creepy mummy. There were some creepy images, but am I the only one here in this podcast that wants just like a simple monster movie with Tom Cruise?
No, I would love to see. I was really excited when I heard they were going to be doing a mummy remake. But then once I heard it was Tom Cruise, and B, once I saw the first preview and now this trailer, I'm just like totally bummed out and feeling very not optimistic about this movie. It looks like it's going to be just Hollywood explosions, action, and bullshit, and absolutely no horror.
I mean, it looks like it's going to be a $200 million movie. And it's like, you can make The Mummy literally for $20 million.
I would much rather see Blumhouse make that movie.
Yes, and hire Tom Cruise. Give him $1 million and tell him, like, you'll get 10% of the profits. It'll make $500 million or more.
Yeah, I would just so much rather see that happen.
Because The Mummy is like a simple story, but here, like, you see Tom Cruise going down in a plane again. He's running from, like, sand, all everything.
Yeah, it's just like, it's so big and bombastic and just looks ridiculous. And it just looks like it's just another Hollywood CG vehicle, you know?
Yeah, I mean, because Brendan Fraser did the Mummy back earlier in life, and
those movies were so awesome.
They were silly.
I fucking love those movies.
Yeah, they're silly and goofy but fun and adventurous. This one looks the exact same but takes itself way too seriously
and without being fun.
Yeah, exactly. It takes itself way too seriously. So I don't know what they're trying to go. I mean, I guess I know what they're trying to go for. They're trying to, like, here is a $200 million mummy movie, because the goal is to do like an Avengers type of thing again, is like, you know, have Tom Cruise do the mummy, and like then there's going to be a werewolf movie and a Dracula. They want to do all of this. So it's just kind of like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Just a mess.
So yeah, if you see the trailer for the new mummy movie, it's going to look like a Mission Impossible movie. Jeremy, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, the trailer was pretty much exactly what I was expecting it to be. So, I mean, what you guys are talking about is exactly what I was kind of expecting the movie to be as soon as I heard that Tom Cruise was in it, and that he wasn't the mummy or anything. So, I don't know. It's, you know, I like the chick that plays the mummy. She was awesome in Kingsman, and she was cool in Star Trek. And I'm hoping that there's more to the movie than what the trailer shows. Like, for example, Star Trek being greater. Yeah. Those trailers were not good, but the movie was good, you know, but the trailers basically made it look like it was Guardians of the Galaxy when, you know.
We'll see.
So, I don't know. I agree with you dudes on it.
Well, that's our takes on the newest trailers coming out. And before we move to a video game, I want to bring up just a quick question. It was reported the other day that Sylvester Stallone has parted ways with the Expendables movie, which is weird because he was the one that brought the Expendables to everybody. Like, he wrote, produced, directed, starred in the original one, and then he kind of took a more lesser role, and the rest of them like produced and maybe not directed, but maybe wrote and starred. But him and the studio have parted ways on creative differences of where to take it, and I guess the studio is going to move forward, and he's out. So, like, is there an Expendable movies without Sylvester Stallone? I just don't think there could be.
Now, let's be honest about one thing here. The Expendable movies are fun despite the fact that they are awful movies.
Oh, well, yeah, they're ridiculous fun movies. It's like Fast and the Furious. They're terrible, but they're fun.
But really, the Expendables are bad movies. The writing is dog shit. It's an action movie where the gore is like really, really underplayed, and it looks awful. All of the CG violence in those movies just looks ridiculous. It looks like the cheapest crap CGI gore and violence, and that drives me nuts.
Yeah, I agree. And I was out as soon as they made one that was PG-13.
Exactly. And then you do that, and then you take even the fight choreography, and the fight choreography from like Captain America or any of the Marvel movies is 10 times better than anything we see in any of the Expendables movies. So it's just not really working in any of the ways except for being fun and campy to see all those, you know, 80s action heroes come together.
So without Sylvester Stallone, do you think it still has a chance?
I think if we get a different writer, and I think if we – I mean, I liked his character. I always like Sly in things. But I think if we get a different writer, a different producer, a different director, we might actually end up with a much, much better movie.
All right. Let's hope so. I like Sly, so – and I like Expendable movies, so we'll see. I was upset. But moving on, there's a video game you might have heard of called Mass Effect Andromeda. It's the new game in the Mass Effect series, I think. But I haven't played it. I haven't played one single game of those, but I know you guys have. So let everybody know what your thoughts on. I'll say this. I've heard mixed reviews on it.
Jeremy, why don't you take the wheel first here?
Well, you know, there are mixed reviews, and some of the points, you know, that people have are valid. Like, there are some kind of rough facial animations, you know, but for the most part, I'm really enjoying the game. It's a Mass Effect game. It's huge. It's open world. The combat, you know, still feels the same. It's not like where you're playing Halo, where a modern Halo game does not even really feel like Halo anymore. It still feels like Mass Effect. It's got tons of super deep story, lots of conversations with characters. I'm enjoying it a lot. I haven't played a whole lot of multiplayer yet, mostly just because I was waiting for John to have his internet so we can touch hearts together on Mass Effect. So, yeah, I'm really just looking forward to kind of digging into that a little bit.
All right.
Right on. I'm liking it a lot so far also. I definitely see where the complaints are coming from, and I also do feel as though it's hard to get emotionally connected to the new character because, you know, one of the things we're running into is that when you have three Mass Effect games all centering on one character and certain sub-characters and things like that, you get really attached to those. And so trying to play a Mass Effect game without Shepard is a little weird and
I so agree.
Yeah, it starts off kind of clumsy on that weird foot, but getting past that is kind of the challenge. But once you do, I think that's when it starts to feel good again.
Yeah, I agree.
Been the hardest thing.
So is it like, did they like just reboot the series with a new character? Or is it like a continuation, like sequel to the other game?
Well, so Mass Effect takes place in a world. It's like telling Lord of the Rings story that's going on at the same time as the Two Towers, but it's just happening somewhere else with different characters.
Okay. All right.
So that's kind of how I would explain this.
Yeah, basically these guys left the Milky Way kind of after Mass Effect 2.
Okay.
So, like, they leave, and so it's a completely separate story, but it's still kind of related.
Okay.
Yep. Right. And a lot of the same technology and things like that, and definitely, you know, they've created an entire universe for this game. So there's certain races and things like that, and alien species. And you get a lot of those things in there. So that's cool. And you get introduced to some new species and new technology. So but it's very cool so far. It's definitely a Mass Effect game once you get over the fact that you're not Shepard.
Yeah, that's but man, the dialogue and communication system is awesome. Like in the previous Mass Effect games, you know, you typically had 2 to 3 choices. You have the good guy response, the bad guy response, and then sometimes you have like a gray, like middle response. But the nice thing about this is all of your, you actually have 4 different responses. You've got like an emotional response, you've got a logical response, professional, and casual. And what the game does is, you know, it reads what you do and kind of builds your character and how your character interacts with the world around him based on your communication choices and the things that you say to people. And it was great because as I got further into the story, there would be times when, you know, somebody would say something to my character and he would automatically react in something that doesn't require me to, like, choose a response. And based on my previous choices, my character is basically kind of a sarcastic asshole to everyone, which I found to be ironic and not off the mark.
That's good.
So I was like,
the graphics are really cool.
They're yeah. good. What would you like on a scale of 1 to 10? What would you give this game rating wise so far?
Over, you mean just in general?
Yeah.
In general, so far, I'd give it a 8.
8? All right.
Yeah, me too.
But I mean, I'm pretty early into it. It's a gigantic game, so I'm still getting the feel for it.
So multiple planets and worlds.
Oh, yeah. Multiple planets.
All right.
It's kind of like the good version of No Man's Sky.
Oh, God. I don't even want to... Yeah. I have nightmares about that. all right, so you recommend it, and y'all are playing it on Xbox?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. That's the one to get?
That's the one to get.
So is that taking up all your time recently? Are y'all still playing the Star Wars one, Battlefront?
Not playing a lot of Battlefront right now.
Just all...
I kind of have time for one game at a time, and that's pretty much it. So I'm like... kind of just guerrilla style playing Mass Effect when I get a chance.
Yep, that's the same boat I'm in.
When does Destiny come out? Destiny 2?
In the fall, I believe. So yeah, Mass Effect's my stopgap until Destiny gets here.
So do y'all all play Destiny?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll all have to play Destiny because I really like the first one.
I'm looking forward to the second one. I got the trailers for those, and those were both fun trailers.
And it looks like a lot of people's complaints about the first one looks like they're fixing a lot of that stuff for the second one.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be cool. That will be cool. So anything else on Andromeda?
Nope. Not yet.
Just having fun.
All right. So we've come to our fun segment of the day. Explain this, Jonathan. You had this idea
this was your idea, man. This was your suggestion for the last show.
No, I do this, but like this kind of segment we're doing.
Oh, okay. I wanted to have it be, because one of my favorite parts of the show is just when we get to give each other shit. And I heard from a lot of people that were watching the show that they like that part of the show too. And because, you know, we've all been friends for a long time and we all express our love by giving each other massive amounts of shit. So that's, I felt that needed to become a regular portion of the show.
Oh my goodness.
And good. Brian had this idea last week. For what we could be talking about. Brian, why don't you tell the listeners what we're going to be talking about today?
Pick a movie title that describes your sex life or your friend's sex life that you
feel. Yeah, not our personal sex lives, but we're going to describe each other's sex lives with movie titles.
Okay. All right. Atterbury, I want you to go first. I want you to tell
us. Oh, you want me to go first? All right.
I do. I'm very excited. So I'm very excited.
Because I have like a lot for both of you. So am I just going off of one or what?
No, give us a few. Give us a few. I'm curious.
All right. So I'm going to start Brian off with the most obvious and say Home Alone.
Fantastic.
There's also The Soloist. The Jerk. And sometimes they come back. And lastly, but not least, I'm going to say a series of unfortunate events.
Well, you did did so well. Oh, that was so perfect. I loved each and every one of those.
All right. So for Jeremy, I have some good ones. I'm going to go ahead and say the first one. Now, this isn't quite from your perspective. It's more from Josie's perspective, but it's a movie called Me and the 40-Year-Old Man. And I thought that was pretty appropriate.
That's good. I like that. Also, that's a winner.
Once Upon a Time in China. And Lolita.
I like that one, too.
And lastly, I'm going to go ahead and say On Golden Pond.
Does Jeremy like to be peed on?
I have one for her that I make in that regard regularly, and that's Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, dude, I was totally going to say that one, too. Damn it.
There's also
I make that joke like every now and then, and she hadn't seen the movie for like really ever, and I didn't realize that. And so she finally watched it, but she still just doesn't really care about that joke.
Yeah, that's a pretty good joke, though.
Yeah, I was like, that's pretty good.
Oh, that is. Now I want to know what On Golden Pond is. Is that a pee joke?
Well, no. On Golden Pond is a movie about a retired guy living. It's old people, basically.
Yeah, I've seen that. But like just the movie title, On Golden Pond, I thought there was like Jeremy liked to be peed on or something like that.
It's not a golden shower movie, no.
Okay. It's open for interpretation. Mainly, I was just trying to think of stuff with old people.
Oh, that was good. I liked it. I liked it. All right. So, well, I guess. Yeah. Well, with Jeremy, I really went that kind of route. Big Trouble in Little China was definitely my number one. He beat me to it.
Stole your thunder.
I feel disappointed in myself.
And then, or Chinatown, I guess I could say. But I just, damn it. So that was mine. That was mine for Jeremy. For you, Atterbury, the one that I picked for you was There Will Be Blood.
Okay.
That was the one I picked for you.
Why did you pick that one for me?
Because I feel like that you like to work out and might get a little rough, so there might be a little blood.
I'm a gentle and tender lover, Brian.
That's one side of the story.
I'm not into the blood thing.
I didn't live with you, so I don't know. Actually, that's not true. I lived with you for a little while.
Yep.
And there was blood. But no, those. I just picked one for you. That was the one. Jeremy? From Dusk Till Dawn, maybe, because you could probably go From Dusk Till Dawn.
All right, that works.
That was just weird.
Oh, good stuff. So, now, did Jeremy think of any?
You know, I cooked up one while we were hanging out earlier here on the show, and it's for Kluger, and it's Star Trek: The Undiscovered Country.
Is that like I could go both ways or something like that?
No, I think it's just undiscovered, as in no sex.
Oh, I like it. It's a mystery to me. Well, anybody of you listening, if you think of any good movie titles that would describe our sex lives, let us know. Comment and let us know.
And then tell us why you think that's a good fit.
Yeah, I mean, it could be Toy Story
because I'm gonna need reasons with that.
Yep,
we're gonna need reasons. Yes. All right. So let's move on to our returning champion segment. Kevin Hart, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, where we recast them in movies, and this time it's gonna be in a Western. If you want to see The Rock and Kevin Hart in a Western, what movie would you want to see them in as a remake?
I think an obvious choice would be Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Would The Rock be the Sundance Kid?
No, definitely Kevin Hart. He would have to be the Sundance Kid.
That'd be good.
Because you know, Dwayne Johnson just looks like a dude that would be called Butch. So I could see him pulling that off pretty well.
That would be good. I'm going to go with Blazing Saddles. I would like to see Kevin Hart as Bart and The Rock as Gene Wilder's character, the Waco kid.
The Waco kid.
Yes. How funny would that be?
That would be amazing. I would love to see Kevin Hart as Black Bart. That would be so funny.
It would be great. Jeremy, did you come up with one?
I got one. Going with City Slickers.
Oh!
Where The Rock takes Billy Crystal's role and Kevin Hart is Jack Palance.
Yes! Oh my God, he's curly. Oh my God, to see The Rock do Billy Crystal impression of just worrying about everything would be so amazing. I could picture The Rock literally making coffee, standing there and do like the herd get fucked up and him just...
Yeah, I mean, he could even play himself in Billy Crystal's role, like a comedic version of Dwayne Johnson where he's just a Hollywood actor and he has to go out and do this.
Oh my God. And to see Kevin Hart just be like, I crap bigger than you, and just scare The Rock senseless every point would be so good. Yes. Oh, that's my favorite one that we mentioned.
I think you won today.
That was great. City yep. Slickers with, oh, I'm just trying to think. Now I want to go watch. Who can we cast as Bruno Kirby and Daniel Stern? And who will be cast as Ira and Barry Shallowitz, the ice cream makers?
Maybe next week we should recast the original City Slickers in its entirety.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
It's been a while since we did a recasting.
Oh, let's do that. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I was so...
But we'll have to do it without Kevin and Dwayne because we've already used that. We'll have to just recast it in its entirety.
Okay, all right. We'll do that next week.
No, I'm going with that. That's my idea.
All right, yeah, Jeff, you can use it.
So we'll have to recast some of the main... roles, but yeah, that's so awesome. Remember in the original City Slickers, Billy Crystal's son is played by Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, okay.
He was a young Jake Gyllenhaal. So if I ever get a chance to interview him, I'm definitely asking all City Slickers questions.
I'm sure he'll love you for that.
He will certainly love me for that. Before,
that will probably be a memorable interview.
it will. I want to, before we leave, I got the chance to review the Rogue One Star Wars Story Blu-ray. It's not in 4K, but it is 1080p high definition. It looks amazing and sounds amazing. It looks, they did a good job making it, keeping it looking filmic like the old films. And the extras are really cool, specifically the K2SO segment, where you got to see actually Alan Tudyk actually do motion capture. Like he was there. Cool. He did all the moves and most of his lines were improv, and it was really cool to see how they did that.
Right on.
So yeah, that comes out tomorrow, Tuesday, April the 4th. Feel free to download it through iTunes or anywhere VOD is available, or buy it anywhere you can. Blu-ray, it's pretty good. So that is Mediocrity. We're on iTunes and Stitcher Radio under the Multimedia Men banner. Subscribe to us, please. We have a good time. We want to keep doing this, and I think we will keep doing this. It's a good time, right? It's a good time.
Might as well.
Yeah, well, might as well.
Yeah.
Might as well.
It's a Monday.
So, where can everybody find you guys at online?
NewAmericanFitness.net or New American Fitness on Facebook and Instagram.
Jeremy Megert Art on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Fantastic. Check these guys out. They're good people. And we'll be back next week with an all-new episode in City Slickers casting. It'll be awesome. Until then, Justice League is the word.